A group of top epidemiologists are suggesting that people arriving from places with a low COVID-19 risk spend half of their quarantine at home. The suggestion is one of several recommendations the scientists claim could strengthen the response to COVID at the border. Professor Nick Wilson is a public health expert from the University of Otago. He joins us now. Morena.
Korea. Hi, Corinne.
How are you? Okay, listen... Talk us through this one here about people quarantining at home. How would that make us safer?
Well, we did a systematic look at all the different aspects of border control. And one of these is to think about the countries that people are arriving from and potentially actually to put even bans in place for countries with levels of uncontrolled spread, such as the US, UK, India and Russia and so on. But in contrast to that, we could actually stratify countries which are very low risk. And these could be places like Australia, Taiwan, Pacific Islands. And for those places, people could have a different type of quarantine arrangement, maybe a week in a proper facility, and then maybe a week in, or two in home quarantine, where they have some more freedoms, but maybe also with digital technology to ensure that they adhere to quarantine. And that's used in some Asian countries like Taiwan and South Korea and so on. So I think it's time to learn from some of these other countries that are actually ahead in the use of some of these tools to protect their border and to still allow movement across the border.
We have space in our managed quarantine our facilities at the moment. So why would we need to do that or want to do that?
Well, there's cost benefits of having more people use home quarantine. The evidence so far from some of these Asian countries is that it can be done at quite a safe level, but it would still need to be done extremely carefully. And it should, in our view, be backed up by other things to reduce the risk at the border, such as pre-flight testing, actually redesigning some of our quarantine facilities, especially the issues with hotels, which are not designed for quarantine, and maybe even moving quarantine facilities out of Auckland to reduce the risk of outbreaks spreading into the Auckland community, our biggest city. So there's a range of other things that should be done.
Sure. Just on the issue of the home quarantine, so if people were to do that, would they have to sort of sign up to an agreement where they would be trackable via their phone, for example? I mean, there would be some restrictions on them and possible fines. I think Taiwan uses fines if you were to breach those rules.
Yes, Taiwan uses a smartphone-based checking system, and for people who don't have smartphones, it actually provides them for free for this purpose, and it does have heavy fines for people breaching quarantine. There could also be screening systems, so people who are not thought to be suitable for this type of home quarantine arrangement, they have no suitable place to go to, there's been difficulties with them in the facility quarantine, that wouldn't be suitable for them.
So you've talked about also high-risk countries perhaps blocking people coming from those countries. Is that realistic politically to stop New Zealand citizens returning here from, say, the UK or the US?
I think it really needs to be carefully looked at because it is quite a burden on our system. We've had 5 cross-border incursions in the last 3 months, so this is a real, quite a serious risk. And a government needs to balance the rights of people to return in this unusual situation of a pandemic with the rights of protecting New Zealanders from outbreaks, and that's particularly protecting the most vulnerable, the elderly population, people with chronic conditions who are at most risk of death if there is an uncontrolled outbreak that develops in New Zealand. So there is a real case, I think, for this type of so-called right to return to be reviewed in extreme pandemic situations.
Well, I mean, looking at the case escalation globally at the moment, I mean, there's not going to be that many countries that will be low risk the way it's going.
Well, yes, it's a very grim international situation, but there are some countries where in East Asia, and Australia has been making good progress. Some 10-odd Pacific Islands have never had COVID outbreaks. So you know, I think there would be a range of countries which we could move into that lower risk category. But I think we've got to move away from this sort of one-size-fits-all approach to other countries and to look at all these different levels to reduce the risk, but also having in mind it's desirable to potentially in the long term improve travel with these low-risk countries.
Sure. Looking at so you've done quite a reasonable review across the board of our response in this latest blog of yours. Other gaps you have identified, what is your thinking around ports, around the transfer of crews, these areas where we're starting to see a few little weaknesses come through?
Well, this shows that we haven't got a state-of-the-art system. I was frankly shocked when I heard there were maritime workers being flown in with no testing and no quarantine. We've seen the problems with that, with a port worker being infected, and that port worker went to a pub. If that had been a super spreading event, we could have had another large outbreak on our hands. So this is a very infectious disease, and we have done a great job in New Zealand, but we have had problems. We've had 5 cross-border incursions in the last 3 months, and one of them led to that large Auckland August outbreak, and the others led to smaller outbreaks, except for those 2 cases, the maintenance worker and the nurse at the Jet Park Hotel, and they fortunately didn't infect anyone else as far as we know. So this is an ongoing high-risk situation, and there's no room for complacency at any level. It really is a time with the new government to take a serious look at doing things at the best possible level in all these different domains.
Professor, we're actually almost out of time, but just very quickly, so does that mean you would support testing weekly for high-risk port workers and the 14-day quarantine for crews transferring to boats?
Yes, but possibly with increased testing that might reduce the need for that length of quarantine.
Professor Nick Wilson, thank you very much for your time from the University of Otago.